father's faith in me is the single most important factor of me being inducted into this Hall of Fame. We made it, Dad.
Oh. Stanton, Dave, oh. Big, oh.
Division leaders clash in the Inner Harbor, old rivals meet again in the Bronx, and the Hall of Fame opens its doors to the class of 2016. All of that and more in this week's Monday Morning Roundup podcast, presented by Gillette. We start in Baltimore, the AL East leading Orioles hosting the Central leading Indians. Mark Trumbo delivered the big blow on Friday night. His three-run homer in the first inning gave the O's a lead they wouldn't relinquish. Dylan Bundy picks up his first win as a starter, going five innings, allowing just one unearned run and striking out five. Zach Britton nailed down his 31st save as the Orioles won the opener 5-1. Saturday, the O's posted another three spot in the first thanks to another Trumbo blast, his 30th on the season. This time it was Kevin Gausman who took advantage. He hurled seven scoreless innings, striking out seven, so Baltimore getting a lift from two young starters to open the series. The biggest moment of the series, though, came on Sunday. The two teams were knotted at three after the Indians' Corey Kluber and the O's' Vance Worley each put in solid outings. Nolan Reimold was the hero with a runner aboard in the bottom of the ninth, pinch hitting against Chad Allen.
Winning run is at second, but two men down.
Deep left center field. Back it goes. It is gone. And the Orioles walk it off to complete the sweep. Reimold off the bench to get it done.
First time an Oriole has hit a pinch hit home run in 2016.
After his triumphant trot around the bases, Reimold talked to Mid-Atlantic Sports Network about his unexpected clutch at bat and lifting the O's to a huge series sweep.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I was there. I was expecting a pinch run or something like that, but I hadn't been swinging it very well, so this is kind of the last thing I expected was to pinch hit, but I had two good takes, and then I was just ready to hit on that third one for a fastball. To play well versus a really good team like the Indians, it makes it, all more satisfying. So we're really happy to get the win today and win the series.
For a half century, the Yankees and Giants home parks used to be separated by just a mile on opposite sides of the Harlem River. It's been nearly 60 years since the Giants vacated the Polo Grounds for the West Coast. And that's what made this weekend's Giants-Yankees series in the Bronx so special. It marks just the fourth time the two former neighbors have played a regular season series since interleague play began back in 1997. A tremendous pitching matchup opened the series on Friday night with Madison Bumgarner and Masahiro Tanaka towing the rubber. The Yankees let an early 2-0 lead slip away in the late innings when Dellin Betances and Andrew Miller each gave up single runs out of the bullpen. But with the game tied at two in the bottom of the eighth, Chase Headley put the Yanks back in front with some heads-up base running, scoring from second on an Austin Romine force-out. Aroldis Chapman locked down the save. Pitching was the story again on Saturday as the game was tied at 1-9. The teams played into the 12th when Mack Williamson came through big.
Up the middle. And a base hit, and here comes Brown. And the Giants take the lead here in the 12th. Gregorius needed to keep that ball from getting into the outfield, and it looked like it just tipped off his glove.
Williamson was responsible for both Giants' runs. He smacked a solo homer back in the fifth. The Bombers bounced back on Sunday afternoon with a pair of early blasts from Carlos Beltran and Mark Teixeira.
High fly ball, right field. Williamson back, track, wall, see ya! A home run for Beltran, number 21 of the year, RBI number 62, and the Yankees lead 1-0. That one's driven out to right center. You can wear those shoes, baby.
Say, those shoes are good to go at this point.
See ya, home run. Mark White shoes to Teixeira, and the Yankees lead 2-0.
Shoes are made for track.
That early power surge backed Nathan Eovaldi, who stepped up in his second start since rejoining the rotation. He allowed two earned over 6 2/3 innings for the win. Joe Girardi spoke about his hard-throwing starter after the game.
He had a great performance today, and he even pitched better than the numbers indicated, I think, giving up the two runs. So he just got to a pitch count. I was uncomfortable letting him continue, but it's exactly what we needed, and he gave us a huge performance. He got out of a jam early in the game. And he pitched really well.
The Giants have now dropped 7 of 8 since the All-Star break. The National League wild card picture is coming into focus, and the Mets and Marlins are right in the middle of it. The NL East rivals met in Florida for 3 games this weekend. After the Mets took the opener on Friday night 5-3, Jose Fernandez stepped up to even the series for Miami.
Fernandez in this ballpark, almost unbeatable. Well, he was all business on that at bat. Fastball, took it. 98 miles an hour. Got him. Ted Barrett rings him up. Jose punches out Cespedes finally.
The Marlins won Saturday's game 7-2. Fernandez allowed 2 earned over 7 innings, striking out 7. He improves to 12-4 on the season. Sunday's series finale belonged to Mets rookie Steven Matz.
And Steven Matz here, his 18th start, winless in his last 9 starts.
And the curveball bounced to third. Reyes waits on it, goes to second for the Forest, and that retires the side. And he strikes out Realmuto. Nice job by Matz. And he struck him out with a high fastball. Second time he struck out Realmuto. That's 6 for Matz this afternoon. And the curveball lined to right, but right at Granderson. Side retired. 6 scoreless innings for Steven Matz.
Matz snapped a personal 5-game losing streak, getting into the win column for the first time since May 25th. He fired 6 scoreless frames, allowing just 4 hits and striking out 6 in the Mets' 3-0 win. Despite dropping the series, the Marlins end the weekend holding on to the senior circuit's second wildcard spot with a half-game edge over New York. Mets fans actually had to split their attention over the weekend between Miami and Cooperstown. The Hall of Fame opened its doors to the class of 2016 with Mike Piazza and Ken Griffey Jr., the men of honor. The festivities started on Saturday, though, with the presenting of the annual Ford C. Frick and J.G. Taylor Spink Awards. The Frick Award, which goes to a broadcaster for major contributions to the game, went to the late Graham McNamee, a pioneer in calling ball games. The Spink Award honors a baseball writer and went to longtime Boston Globe baseball writer Dan Shaughnessy. Sunday belongs to the players, though, and the 2016 class is one of the best. Ken Griffey Jr. enters the hall after appearing on a record 99.3% of the ballots in his first year on the ballot. Splitting his career in Seattle and Cincinnati, the kid hit 630 home runs, that's 6th all-time. In an emotional speech, Jr. spoke of his relationship with his dad.
I got a chance to play with my dad. I got to yell at him and tell him to get a hit. And in baseball, there's certain things of, you can call somebody a fossil, gray beard, grandpa, dad, pops, but I got a chance to say it and mean it. We hit back-to-back home runs with the first father and son to win MVPs in an All-Star game. I spent 8 years with the Reds. I got to put on the same uniform as my dad, run around the same outfield. I got a front row seat to the greatest team ever assembled, the 1975 and 76 Reds. As a member of the Reds, I was often teased by my teammates saying that my dad played for the big red machine and you're the engineer to the little red caboose. I want to thank my family, my friends, the fans, the Reds, the White Sox, and the Mariners for making this kid dream come true.
Mike Piazza hit more home runs as a catcher than any player in baseball history. 396 of his 497 total jacks came as a backstop. Drafted by the Dodgers in the 62nd round back in 1988, he spoke about his journey from long shot to all-star, tearing up when reflecting on his time with the Mets.
How can I put into words my thanks, love, and appreciation for New York Mets fans? We didn't get off on the best foot, but we both stayed with it. At first, I was pressing to make you cheer and wasn't doing the job. You didn't take it easy on me, and I am better because of it. Unfortunately, it wasn't always the ups and downs of baseball season we experienced. September 11, 2001 is a day that forever changed our lives. To witness the darkest evil of the human heart and witness that as it tore many loved ones from their families will forever be burned in my soul. But from tragedy and sorrow came bravery, love, compassion, character, and eventual healing. Many of you give me praise for the two-run home run on the first game back to September 21st to push us ahead of the rival Braves. But the true praise belongs to police, firefighters, first responders who knew that they were going to die, but went forward anyway. Your families and those left behind are always in my prayers. I pray we never forget their sacrifice and work to always defeat such evil.
The week ahead will be highlighted by some great interleague showdowns. The Windy City plays host to the Crosstown Classic. The White Sox and Cubs playing a pair on the South Side Monday and Tuesday before moving to Wrigleyville on Wednesday and Thursday. Cleveland will be rocking as the AL Central leading Indians look to bounce back from being swept in Baltimore against the NL East leading Nationals. The quick two-game series will conclude with a tremendous pitching matchup on Wednesday, with Steven Strasburg going for his 14th win of the season against Carlos Carrasco. This has been the Monday Morning Roundup presented by Gillette Mach 3. For more MLB.com podcasts, visit iTunes.